From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. Man, what a show we have for you. We'll talk with Chicago baseball writer Mark Gonzalez. We'll go over his Hall of Fame ballot, and we'll discuss that. Also, Fox Sports Radio's Bernie Fratto will make his case for Curt Schilling, who did not get into the Hall of Fame this time around. That and much more starts now.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
It was a sad day in baseball last week when Hank Aaron passed away at age 86, one of the all-time great sluggers in baseball history. He was an amazing player, an amazing person. And when you think about Hank Aaron and his impact on the game, it was tremendous. Think about this. Hank Aaron played in the Negro Leagues. Hank Aaron came up to the big leagues and was a star from day one. And when you look at his body of work, it is an incredible, incredible degree of consistency. When you think that Hank Aaron batted 305, 755 home runs, almost averaged 100 RBIs in his 23 seasons. And think about this. If you took away his 755 home runs from his hit total, he still would have 3,000 hits, which by itself would get you into the Hall of Fame. So not only does he have the 3,000 hits, he has the more than 500 home runs. Those two are markers for me that automatically get my vote. And then when you think about what he had to go through to become the home run champ, and the hate and the threats and the racism that was pointed towards him. Think about that. People saying that they were going to shoot him, kill his kids, and this guy never came undone, never lashed out at people, never got angry, just kept playing ball, kept his head down. He is definitely someone you can admire. And then he did reach that milestone, passing Babe Ruth. And what a monumental moment that was when Hank Aaron became the all-time home run king. And I know some people say he's still my home run king and it's not Barry Bonds. And I don't really want to get into the whole debate about this. This is about Hank Aaron and what he did. I respect what Hank Aaron put up, his numbers he put up. But in the record books, he's number two, and that's where he is, and that's what I respect, and there's nothing wrong with being number two when you've put up the body of work that Hank Aaron has done. He will be missed. What an impact he's had, and the grace and the dignity, everything he played with, and he was a World Series champion, and he was as steady as it gets. Never hit 50 home runs. How can a guy play 23 years, hit all those home runs, and never have those big years over 50? It's an amazing accomplishment. And Hank Aaron will definitely be missed.
Number two.
The Baseball Hall of Fame will have no class in 2021. And what I mean is no one was voted in the class of 2021. Curt Schilling was the closest at 71.1%. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens had close to 62%. Those were the closest. You need 75% in order to get induction into Cooperstown. I am a Baseball Hall of Fame voter. I'm a BBWAA member. It is my prized possession, and I take it very seriously. And I don't have an issue of there not being any people going into the Hall of Fame, because if there aren't any people worthy on the ballot, that's the writer's right to not vote for people and not just put people in just to do so. So I don't have any issue. Here is my ballot, in case you're wondering. I voted for Barry Bonds. I voted for Roger Clemens. I voted for Sammy Sosa, and I voted for Gary Sheffield. And when it comes to me, it's real simple. You know, speculation, all the other stuff that went on with the steroid and PED era, I just think it's very hard to pin it just on those four guys or five guys, if you add Mark McGwire, who's no longer on the ballot, because it was an era. It was rampant. I'm sure more people tried it than we really even know. And those guys, they were not being tested for it during that time. So I'm not going to play judge, jury, and executioner. I'm going to, the numbers count in the baseball record book, so I am going to vote accordingly. And in my book, if you have 500 home runs, 3,000 wins, 3,000 hits, or 300 wins, you automatically get my vote. All four of those guys checked the box in the home run category. All of them had 500 or more home runs. That is why they get my vote. I did not vote for Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling was a very good pitcher, big time in the postseason, but his entire body of work wasn't good enough. I didn't vote for Mike Mussina, who got in. I didn't vote for Jack Morris, who got in through the Veterans Committee. And they all are around the same kind of pitcher. Very, very good, just not elite. And the dialogue against Schilling is that he didn't win a Cy Young. If you were one of the elite pitchers, the greatest of all time, one of those guys, you should have at least for 1 year won a Cy Young. And that didn't happen. He finished second three times. Well, that tells you there was somebody better than him who pitched in during his era. I think that's telling. So the Hall of Fame will go on. No players from this past voting, which is fine. And next year will be very interesting. I think A-Rod and Big Poppy will be added to the list, and we'll see how those guys are treated and where they are as we go forward. But the Hall of Fame continues, and Curt Schilling, not so sure he will get in, as he's blamed writers for his not getting in. And the only people who seem to complain about writers voting for the Hall of Fame are the people who don't get in. That's lame.
Number three.
Here's one of the most underreported baseball stories that's out there. The union has rejected Major League Baseball's use of the universal DH and expanded playoffs, which we saw last year during the pandemic. The association, Players Association, is, according to sources to ESPN, are not for the universal DH, which I thought they would. It would be another big-time job for its membership. And also last year, where we had the 16 of the 30 teams make the playoffs, it was a lot of wild card kind of playoffs and three game series. It was a little exciting considering where it was, and it was used, and some people loved it. The networks, of course, loved it. But according to the union and ESPN's reporting, they are not keen to doing it again. So this will be interesting. I don't want to see, I got to be honest, I'm against both of them because I love that the National League has its own set of rules. Baseball was started without a DH. That's the natural form of how the game is played. So I like it that way. I don't have an issue with the DH. I love the strategy of whether or not you have to pinch hit for a pitcher who's pitching well to try to score some runs. The DH to me reminds me of a softball game more than anything. I'm not a big DH guy. And the expanded playoffs, I don't want baseball to make the regular season null and void. It's too long of a season to do that. And you see that in the NBA and the NHL, where more than half the league makes the playoffs, and then what you have is people turning off as far as the regular season and saying, I'll just wait for the playoffs. Because most of the times, you know what teams are good enough to make the playoffs out of a field of 16. So you're playing 162 games to eliminate 14 teams? That doesn't make any sense to me. I like the way the playoffs are already set up. They need to stick with that. So in this case, I'm with the union. I don't know what their reasonings are, but I'm against the DH in both leagues. If the American League wants to keep it, that's fine. And I'm against a playoff system where more than half the teams make the playoffs.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome in Fox Sports Radio personality Bernie Fratto. He hosts Straight Out of Vegas on Saturday nights on Fox Sports Radio. Mr. Bernie Fratto, who played minor league baseball and loves baseball as much as I do. What's happening, Bernie?
Rob, good to be with you today, and especially good because we get to debate our favorite topic, baseball.
No doubt. It was a debate over Pete Rose that linked us together back in Detroit on the radio. And you remember that? I kicked your butt then, and I'm going to kick your butt now.
So let's go, baby. I'm digging in.
All right, let's go. So the big hot topic, obviously, of the Hall of Fame was that Curt Schilling was not elected. He was about 16 votes short, 71.1%. Bernie, he needed 75%. He has one more year of eligibility to be voted in by the writers in his 10th year on the ballot. Here you are, Bernie Fratto. Make your case for Curt Schilling.
Well, first of all, when you make a case for any player, the operative word to me in the Hall of Fame has always been the word fame. And fame has to do with widespread reputation based on your renown. So when you look at Schilling's renown among peers in terms of his on-field performance, it was stellar. I mean, this is a guy that was highly respected as a top-flight competitor, 216 wins in his career. He had the best strikeout-to-walk ratio of any pitcher since 1900, so very, very dominant. But the postseason is where he really made his bones, Rob. 11-2 with a 2.23 ERA. He was lights out in the postseason. In fact, he started five elimination games and never lost one of them. To me, those stats are comparable to players that have already been voted in the Hall of Fame, if not better.
Here's the case against him. He just wasn't good enough. If he was as good as you make him out to be, he would have won at least one Cy Young in the 20 years he pitched. 216 wins over 20 years is 11.4 per season. That's not impressive. It doesn't match up to the greats of the game. And yes, there are some people who got in who you take a look at. I don't know. They could be Veterans Committee. Those could be guys who have been voted in not by the writers. Remember, Jack Morris did not get in by the writers. He got in through the Veterans Committee. So you can't put up his numbers against a guy like Jack Morris. Also, you talk about the postseason. First of all, I'll give you a guy, David Wells. David Wells won 23 more games than Curt Schilling during a regular year, during a regular season, and had 10 playoff wins. So it's not, he never got any consideration for the Hall of Fame. He was considered a guy who was very, very good, pitched a lot of big time games when it came to the postseason as well. So there's another thing. And when you talk about Curt Schilling, a lot of his numbers just don't compare to the greats of like a Tom Seaver and a Nolan Ryan and people like that who won 300 games. That's a testament to how good they were and the Cy Youngs that they won. He just doesn't have any of that national hardware.
Well, first of all, if you want to bring David Wells into the conversation, while it's true Wells had 10 career postseason wins, he had 8 losses. He was basically .500, and his ERA was a full one run per game higher than Schilling. Schilling was not only effective in the postseason, he was absolutely lights out in the postseason. Now, he doesn't have 300 wins like Tom Seaver. I get that, or you probably would have voted him in. But let's take a look at other renowned pitchers like Whitey Ford, who was considered the gold standard for the postseason. He was also 10-8 with a 2.7 ERA. He's in the Hall. Don Drysdale, 3-3 in the postseason and had 7 less career victories than Curt Schilling. And I don't care that he never won a Cy Young. Those are voted on by human beings, and let's face it, Curt Schilling, whose nickname while he played professional baseball was Table for One, not a nice guy, was very rude and bombastic toward the press. Allegedly, he once drew a cartoon with a picture of a journalist with a rope and a tree and said, some assembly required. How are you going to do that and allow your fellow human beings to look at you seriously? There's too much subjectivity in voting for the Hall of Fame. Now, I'll give you some credit because you didn't vote for David Wells and there are other star pitchers either. So I think, Rob, your standard, I respect. Because you've been consistent down the line. But I don't feel all the writers hold the same type of objectivity that you do. There's more subjectivity. To me, what Curt Schilling did in his career, and again, back to the word, the operative word fame, the Hall of Fame, Schilling's numbers not only stand up, but he did it when it mattered most, and he didn't have murderer's row behind him like David Wells did when he was pitching for the Yankees.
You brought up Don Drysdale. I'm going to push back for the final time. 9-time All-Star, won a World Series 3 times, won a Cy Young in 1962, also was the MLB wins leader in that year, 1962, 3-time MLB strikeout leader. He was a dominant pitcher on an organization that won. He is better, and you said he only has 7 more wins. And yes, the postseason, if you want to go with 3-3, but you have to look at the entire body of work. Mr. Bernie Fratto, I appreciate you. I appreciate your stance. I don't agree with it, but we can agree to disagree.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome to the podcast one of my favorite people, one of my favorite baseball people, one of my favorite baseball writers, Mark Gonzalez from Chicago, who spent 15 years, almost 16, with the Chicago Tribune, covering first the White Sox and then the Cubs, Hall of Fame voter. Mark, welcome to the podcast, my man.
Thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
Always, buddy. You know it. Let's just get right to it. This was one of those years. It's happened, I think, 9 times in the past where no one was voted in to the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I don't have a problem with. If nobody's really worthy, I'm cool with that, rather than just putting people in. Where are you on nobody getting in?
Hey, if that's what the 75% determine, I'm all with it, because it's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Good or Very Good. And you want the most elite players in the Hall representing baseball's greatest shrine.
I'm with you. We've been lax, I think, of late, putting guys in, Mark, on their last try. A lot of guys have been getting in like that. Tim Raines, Larry Walker, you know, when time is running out. And I help me with this. If you don't vote for somebody for 14 years or for 9 years, how do you vote for them in year 10 or their last year on the ballot? Does that make sense, or am I missing something?
Well, everybody's entitled to their format, how they go about it. There's been a couple of times that I've left the guy off the first time, but then he's on the second time and usually gets in. Two examples are Tim Raines and Andre Dawson, but that's the exception more than the rule. So I just still, it goes back to what I feel. If you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, you had to dominate for an extended period to be worthy of nomination.
How about, okay, we knew going in with the taint of the PEDs, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Sheffield. Where are you on those guys? And first, I guess we should say, we would love to hear your ballot, and then I'd love your take on guys who are rumored or linked to PEDs.
I voted for 3. My ballot's usually tight. I voted for Billy Wagner, Jeff Kent. Those two guys have always been on my ballot. And the addition this year was Andrew Jones. I put an extra emphasis on defense, and I felt with the Tim Gold Glove Awards in center field, and the fact that he did have a stretch of dominance. I think people forget that this guy broke into the majors when he was 19. So I think that has to be considered. And those are the 3 guys I voted for. As far as the guys with a cloud of PED over them, I never voted for them. It goes back to the Dale Murphy cause. Yeah, I just think if guys like Dale Murphy and Harold Baines, those guys would have had some extra help. They would have been in sooner, and to their credit, they played the game right. They played it clean. And if you let these guys get in, these other guys get in, it just hurts guys like Dale Murphy and Harold Baines, even though Harold did get in on the Veterans Committee.
How about next year, Big Poppy's on the list. Big Poppy was in the Mitchell report for the youth. Would you vote for him, or have you not thought about that yet?
Try not to think about it yet. I know the commissioner has come out in his defense. I'll have to break down a lot of things. One thing I will do, I won't penalize him for being a DH during the last stretch of his career. I don't think you can penalize a guy for that, especially if he has dominated at the plate. Special player.
No doubt about it. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And do you doubt, because that there, I don't doubt that there are guys who have been inducted in the Hall of Fame of late who have either used PEDs or been involved in it. Do you think guys who have used PEDs are in the Hall of Fame?
I cringe to think about it, but you got to wonder just how prevalent it was during the 90s and turn of the century. But I'd like to think for the most part that that's a pretty pure group with very few exceptions.
Our guest is Mark Gonzalez, Chicago sports writer, Hall of Fame voter, BBWAA member, friend of mine for a long time covering baseball. Let's get to the elephant in the room, Curt Schilling. Making noise. I mean, the case he makes, and he did it on the radio after he didn't get in. He got 71.1% of the vote. Right away went after the writers that if he was a Democrat, he would be in, making all these excuses. Where are you on Curt Schilling? And how come he can't accept that maybe some people don't think he's a Hall of Famer?
Well, I'm one of those with the latter. I've seen the good and bad with him. But as far as his achievements on the mound, very good. I just think his body of dominance wasn't long enough. You saw in Philly where he had a good stint, but it really wasn't long. He was injured, too. Diamondbacks, he had 2.5 exceptional years, but then he was traded to Boston, did a solid job there, but his last few years were injury-plagued. I just think if you add up all the numbers, there are some guys that didn't get in that appear favorable to his numbers. You know, David Wells, for example, with 239 wins, and his postseason record was 10-5 with a 3.17 ERA. I usually don't vote for many starting pitchers unless they dominate. Roy Halladay is a guy that came to mind. I didn't vote for Mike Mussina, but good for him, he got in.
I'm with you. I try to stay consistent. Didn't vote for Schilling. Didn't vote for Mussina. Didn't vote for Jack Morris. I didn't vote for any of those guys, and I think they're all in the same boat. Very good. And the other last argument is some people always trying to trump and say that the postseason numbers should push you over the top. And Schilling played 20 years in the big leagues and had 216 wins, which is what, 11.40 wins a year? I mean, I don't think that's that impressive.
Yeah, if you offset it by 20 win seasons, which had a lot of merit during his era, then you can say, okay, maybe that should carry some weight. But I only think he had a couple.
Yeah, that was it. All right, his name, Mark Gonzalez, man. We always appreciate the knowledge. One of the best baseball writers out there. We appreciate you on the podcast, and hopefully we'll talk to you during the season.
Sounds good, Rob. Take care.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here was another reason why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. With the passing of Hank Aaron, it was only appropriate that I thought back to my childhood and I thought back to that magical moment when he hit his 715th home run to pass Babe Ruth and become the all-time home run leader. And if you haven't heard the play-by-play of that game, from Vince Scully, you are in for a treat, because even to this day, that happened in 1974, and here we are in 2021, and I still get goosebumps when I hear the moment and Vince Scully's call and the video of him running around the bases, and Vince Scully ties it up into a nice bow. He talks about what it looked like, a black man in the South winning the home run title, and it was just an amazing moment, and that is why baseball has those moments that not often do you see those kind of moments in the other sports. And for your listening pleasure, here you go.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.